This is Richie Incognito of the Buffalo Bills. You're listening to Locked On Bills, presented by Cover One.
Welcome back to another live edition of Locked On Bills podcast. I'm your host today, Kevin Masseri, joined by Old Faithful from the sports, Bills Wire Sports Media Group, right? Rob Quinn. How you doing today, Rob?
Doing good. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing well, Rob. It's good to be back with you every so often and get these things rocking and rolling, right?
Always.
It's always fun. So this is a pivotal matchup, the Bills versus the Dolphins this Sunday, 1 p.m., a beautiful 1 p.m. start, probably some more snow, getting those shovelers out there and earning those free tickets out there for everyone to enjoy. So, Rob, what are your initial thoughts about this game against the Dolphins? And I know you guys write a lot of content and you get a lot of stuff out. Is there anything that immediately jumps out to you about this matchup?
After the Colts game, I was like, you know, this is going to be a pretty – I think the Bills have this in the bag, and then you go watch Monday Night Football and the Dolphins just really crushed the Patriots. I mean, it was one-sided for the entire game and kind of put a little – gave me a little bit of nerves. But, you know, Miami coming from the heat, coming up here to Buffalo, well, Orchard Park, and playing in the snow, you know – I think that the Bills have an advantage there, but, you know, divisional games are always tough and you never really know how to swing them. I mean, look at the Jets games. We saw that. Those were supposed to be gimmies. So you never really know, but I'm still pretty confident. I mean, the Bills, they've been playing good football lately and, you know, I think they have a chance to win this.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's really weird about division games is the Dolphins always seem to play the Patriots really tough. Like, there's no doubt about it. They've played them really well. And I think it was someone pointed out three straight seasons when they beat the Patriots, they go to play Buffalo and they lost all three of them. I think it was 06, 12 and 13 or 13 and 14, where it just, these division games, they just for some reason can always match up against New England. They know how to frustrate Brady. Brady did not look full strength. I don't know. What was your thoughts on that? Did you think he looked right?
He did not. I mean, even from the first quarter when he threw that pick on the, I believe, opening drive, you just saw his body language wasn't the typical Brady. He was just kind of lethargic out there. You see him fired up and trying to get everyone going, and it just really wasn't him. And the Dolphins really just took control of that game early and ran away with it. And their defense was a big part of it. They were able to get pressure on him, and everyone knows that's the book on the Patriots is – if you can hit Tom Brady, they're not going to be the same team. Obviously, they didn't have Rob Gronkowski. That's a huge factor. But still, that was not the Tom Brady that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't. It wasn't. I don't know if it's Achilles is finally catching up to him. He's 40 years old. If at some point he's going to slow down, probably still isn't this season. Probably still have a couple seasons to go. But at some point, it's going to get him. It's going to bite him. Father Time doesn't lose, right?
He's
undefeated. Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, one day he'll slow down. We can only hope.
Yeah, you know, that's my hope as well. But, you know, getting into this matchup a little bit, I mean, you have a guy in Kenyon Drake, and your experience, is he legitimate? Is he a legitimate number one running back? Is he just kind of catching, you know, fire in a bottle right now? Or what's your opinion on Kenyon Drake?
You know, at Alabama, I was a huge, huge fan of his, but I don't think that he's a number one running back, but he's really performed like one since they traded Jay Ajayi, and he's really stepped up and embraced that number one role. I mean, Damian Williams was inactive on Monday night, and he really showed out. I mean, I think he's catching the ball well out of the backfield. He's running hard. I think he has averaging over 4 yards a carry, and the Bills have struggled against running backs in the passing game all season. We saw that with the linebackers just not being able to cover. Hopefully, my boy Matt Milano can change some of that. I mean, with his athleticism and bring some speed to the second level, which they'll really need. I think that's going to be a huge part of the game, and I'm glad you brought that up because I think Kenyon Drake and Jarvis Landry are going to be the two players that they need to focus on, because those are those short guys that are going to create yards after the catch, and they need to tackle and do that in space.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the matchup directly, I mean, their offensive line's beat up, and Pouncey's now out again. It's not looking like, you know, I don't know, Bushrod's or, you know, another starting lineman that may or may not go. They played okay last week, but it's generally been their Achilles heel and, you know, leading to their record as it is, 6-7. I mean, do you have any insights on, you know, what you expect from their offensive line? I mean, is Jay Cutler going to play differently, not in 70 degree Miami heat?
I think playing in 70 degree weather without any of that, I mean, that's ideal conditions to play. Obviously, we saw last week just how weather can affect the game. Yeah. And I don't think that Jay Cutler is going to light it up like he did a week on Monday night. But at the same time, that off, like you said, that offensive line is nothing to really be worried about. I mean, but we've said that almost about every team that the Bills have played, and they haven't been able to get a pass rush. Jay Cutler was incredible against the blitz, I think, against Pro Football Focus noted. But at the same time, I think that Kyle Williams and Jerry Hughes and Yarbrough and Ryan Davis and those guys, they're that steady front four is better than what the Patriots have right now. We saw Alan Branch got hurt in the middle, and that was a big part of that game. But, yeah, I think the Bills clearly have an advantage across the board on the offensive line, especially with Pouncey being out.
Yeah, and I mean, if you point to that game specifically, did that tell you more about the Dolphins or more about the Patriots? Are you now saying that the Patriots can be vulnerable and are available to be beaten? Does that make you feel good that the Bills may have a fighting chance? They played well in the first half. They may have a fighting chance next week as well, or is it just a one-off, one of those one every three or four games a year that New England plays that you're just kind of like, that's just one of, they're going to go 12-4?
I mean, like you said, it's the Dolphins seem to have the Patriots number when they're playing, especially in Miami for whatever reason. But I think Rob Gronkowski being out of the game really changed the game plan as a whole. We saw, I don't think a wide receiver had a reception until late in the second half. They're using a lot of strains to running backs and all that. But I think it was more the Dolphins just playing well, coupled with the fact that you don't have an all-century tight end really in Rob Gronkowski playing.
Yeah, what's weird was the stats do prove that Brady's a little bit worse without Gronk, but they're 20-5 prior to last game, now 20-6 without Gronk. I was actually shocked. I tweeted out something that people generally responded to, was that I think the Patriots are a different team with Gronk. I don't know why. I don't know how they're still 20-6 without Rob Gronkowski. Brady's much worse. His touchdown to interception ratio is cut in half. But the team still, I mean, it's just general, their general winning percentage is around like 730. So, I mean, what can you expect? They're just averaging, you know, 12-4 every year. I mean, what, of course, a winning percentage is going to do it, but I still think they're a different team in a one-off scenario without Rob Gronkowski, especially this year more than others when they, I mean, they have Brandon Cooks and a lot of other struggling parts there. And I mean, a lot of scat backs. So, I mean, there's a lot of struggling parts in New England, and Miami took advantage of it, put something on film. I'm hoping the Bills can take advantage of it next week. But the Miami Buffalo matchup is still intriguing to me, because if either team wins, Miami has to win out, the Bills actually can afford to lose to New England and still have a fighting chance. I mean, this is pretty much an AFC final wild card battle to see who's still around. I mean, Rob, who do you think takes it? Like, who do you think is the better football team, considering that this game's in Buffalo and in 30 degree weather, for at least this game? I mean, what do you see happening? What's kind of your game plan if you're the Bills?
On the Bills, I'm feeding LeSean McCoy. That's been working the past couple of weeks, and I would keep it going. I think the Bills across the board are a better team. Maybe with the receivers banged up, that's a push if you look at just the receivers versus receivers. But I think that the Bills should win this game. Obviously, I think it's probably going to be closer than people expect. I know a lot of people say, oh, but they have the Dolphins number. I mean, we remember Thad Lewis just destroying them all the time. And, you know, but I just think that the Bills can come away with a win here. Like you said, playing in this weather, Miami's on the road. It's going to be a harsh environment. Buffalo is a meaningful game in December, which we aren't really used to. So the crowd's going to be into it. You're going to have Jay Cutler smoking his cigarettes on the sideline, you know. And
you sure are.
But I think it'll be a fun game, but I think it's going to be a closer than a lot of people, at least on Twitter, are indicating.
In terms of you thinking, are you saying that a lot of people on Twitter are indicating that the Bills are going to win pretty handedly? I mean, it's funny because if you check out Dolphins Twitter, and I follow a lot of Dolphins people and crossover for purpose of these shows and purpose of just in general information, and they kind of feel the same way about their team. Like they're now, because they went into this game thinking they were done, their season was over, Jay Cutler was just going through the motions, and all of a sudden one New England win, kind of like the Bills experience a little bit in Atlanta, one New England win can like all of a sudden, like now you're going to win out, now you're going to somehow beat the Bills twice and the Chiefs on the road, like you're going to win in Arrowhead, you're going to win in Orchard Park, and then you're going to win at home. Like, okay, that's aggressive. Like, can you guys win one or two of those three? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Are you going to go win out and make the playoffs after, you know, pretty much calling your season dead, Rob? I mean, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from South Florida, as you know, so all my friends are Dolphins fans, so we've had some banter already back and forth, but I mean, I just don't see it. I don't see how Miami – I mean, that was a home game, a night game. Obviously, the crowd was fired up. Tom Brady, like you said, he wasn't looking like himself. They didn't have Rob Gronkowski, and, I mean, they were the better team. They played fast, physical. They really just beat them in all three phases of the game. And
No, I was just going to say, now all of a sudden they have a number one corner out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, Xavier Howard, I mean, all the stats. I remember a scouting report when we were with Building the Herd, and I'm watching Mike Evans draw 7 pass interference penalties from Xavier Howard in one game. And this guy has done nothing. And until the last 3 weeks, and he has 4 interceptions. I mean, that was a beautiful interception that he had on the Brandon Cooks pass, but I don't think that's something that you can count on Xavier Howard covering for 60 minutes, regardless of who's out there. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, whether he plays or not, or anything, I don't think that's something that you could really rely on.
Yeah, previous to last week's game, even for Howard, he was the bottom 5 in cornerback rankings on PFF. I mean, he's been awful at times. I mean, I don't think he's the correction of the answer. I think he played a couple, like 1, 2, or potentially 2.5 solid football games, similar to Kenyon Drake. So they do have some solid skill players that can show up at times, and still their D-line can be good. I mean, Andre Branch is hurt. Sue sat out practice, but he's probably one of those guys that gets a maintenance day. So I mean, you have some type injuries. I mean, they don't have a middle backer. I mean, there's vulnerabilities on the Dolphins team. I mean, they're 6-7 for a reason. They lost at home to the Buccaneers. They're not a perfect squad. What was it? They lost 5 straight before this 2-game winning streak. So I mean, they are who we think they are. I mean, the Bills should take care of business at least at home for another fighting chance. But really, if you think about it, everyone thinks that we usually are in this spot in December. We're really not, Rob. December 14th. At least in a spot where you win against the Dolphins twice. And to me, based on the scenarios I've run, beating the Dolphins twice and even losing to the Patriots, you have like a solid 50-50 chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really – being a Bills fan, I can't bring myself to start thinking of these scenarios until week 17.
17, huh?
I still have nightmares of him. And
what about after a win?
I start to think about it for like 30 minutes, I see that graphic and I'm like, yes. And then I just remind myself that it's the Bills and I got to temper my expectations a bit.
What's weird is a win this week puts them in prime position, not just kind of on the outs. A win this week puts them in controllable position where not technically winning out would get them a playoff, but practical.
Very close.
Practically it would, because there's no way Tennessee wins out, none. I think they even go 1-2, and then you have Baltimore, which they should win out. I mean, they have a fairly easy schedule, but they're not perfect. They could slip up one of those 2 or 3 games as well. Cleveland needs a win. Cincinnati always has Baltimore's number at times. And I mean, you have a game against Indianapolis, who you never know what could happen in that either. So,
but we said the same thing about the Bills. So,
Yeah, exactly. But they're not. I guess all I'm saying is I agree. The Bills absolutely can drop a game or two here, but I think so can the Ravens and definitely the Titans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's what's interesting. We'll get into some of those more scenarios like Rob said, after the Bills prove they can at least win one game here, no one's expecting a New England win in New England. Believe it or not, they actually are vulnerable at home, though. They haven't been perfect there. They've lost two home games.
Who's the only team to shut out the Patriots
in Foxborough, the Bills. I mean, they could be struggling. They have to play the Steelers. I don't know what could happen in New England here over the next couple. What's even going to get more weird, Rob, is if New England loses, the Bills do squeak out a win, and all of a sudden they're two games back going into Foxborough. People thinking they're going to win the division.
That's what I'm worried about. I do not want an angry Belichick and Brady to close the season. That's the last thing.
Coming off of two straight losses to get to
face. You saw Belichick after the onside kick in his press conference, and
that was a great press conference. It was quality.
Amazing.
He can't even come close to answering a question, which makes it great.
You have
Sean McDermott, who can give you like just like the fluffiest fluff answers, and then you have Bill Belichick that's up there like, no, yes, no. Do you have a real question? No.
His voice is cracking. Just give me a break.
Yeah. it's going to be scary if the Bills win and New England loses going into New England with them on a two-game losing streak, Bills on a two-game winning streak, and New England can clinch the division right there at home. They're going to smack us by like 30.
It's fun to talk about, though, because when was the last time we really were in
like this position? Not even Doug Marrone, who they went 9-7 because
they didn't have this excitement.
There was no excitement. There was no real chance that season because you were technically, I think, 7-7.
That Raiders game, I believe.
Yeah. That Raiders game where the bad Derek Carr team went in there and beat us, and that ended the season. I mean, could be similar here where Jay Cutler could come in pretty much with a Dolphins win ends the season. So it's similar scenario to that Raiders. But if they do take care of business at home, against Jay Cutler, there is reason to start getting into those scenarios, in my opinion. I think at that point, it's the first real legitimate time. I mean, you're sitting at, you know, a really, really reasonable record at 8-6, and you're talking about having the right AFC record. You're talking about having most of the tiebreakers in most scenarios. I mean, at that point, it becomes legitimate to start talking about scenarios and being able to afford a Patriots loss and still be able to have a week 17 shot at it, I think is worth talking about it. So, and you get a free game against New England to kind of say, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter because generally in most scenarios, a 10-6 isn't going to be the number that's going to need, you're going to need. So I think there's a lot of cool storylines going into this Dolphins game. They're the same way. They think Miami thinks if they can win out at 9-7 and the AFC record they would have, they're in great shape as well. I mean, so it's interesting. We'll see if they can show up. They really just need to beat a couple of winnable games, I guess. I mean, you're just playing the Bills twice and the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are, you know, they're they really, for lack of a better term, collapsed and really shouldn't win the division.
Right. And going back to the whole Jay Cutler thing, I mean, we saw him make some incredible throws on Monday. But he's not going to be able to do that in those swirling winds at New Era Field in that weather. Like, I just don't see Jay Cutler as that player. Like, John Gruden kept saying that he never beat the Patriots, and this was huge for him and all this. And he's playing, and he was coming back to play and living in Fort Lauderdale and enjoying it and on a primetime game. But, I mean, I don't see it being a game where it's going to be an aired out game. I mean, it's going to be a run the ball, stop the run. And I think whoever can run the ball better is going to be the team that wins. And that's scary for Bills fans given the last several games. But I think that the Bills have the defensive line. And now that they're not playing this, oh, we're going to switch out Ramone Humber and Matt Milano and that whole shakeup, and, you know, Adolphus Washington and Cedric Thornton are starting to look a little better. Ryan Davis looked like a freaking beast against the Colts.
I think the game slowed down for Ryan when it slowed down in the snow.
But I mean, even without the snow and the week before, he was manhandling dudes and setting the edge. And I think Milano gives you that speed where if you can set the edge, then he's going to be that run and chase guy that can come down. I mean, Milano, according to Pro Football Focus, he had like 17 missed tackles on the season, which is unbelievable. So I think that with the change to on defense to that personnel, I think the Bills have a strong chance because I don't see Kenyon Drake being a guy that's going to be a Jay Ajayi and run over you for 200 yards twice in a year.
No, I mean, they're going to need to run the ball. I mean, you're talking about a game, it's cliche, but you're talking about a game that's going to be in the 20s. It's going to have 10 to 15 mile per hour winds, swirling winds that, you know, is pretty underrated even at that lower mile per hour, that just still can affect a game. Potential elements, you know, rain and snow showers could happen, could be pushed up into Sunday. There's a lot of things that I don't trust Jay Cutler. He's a 500 quarterback in the right situations, and I don't think these are the right situation for Jay Cutler. I think that the only thing I think that the Dolphins have going for them, they played a good football game, and their season technically is still alive, and it's technically on the line against another division rival, but I just don't think these are right elements. I think that maybe at home in their stadium and their weather and their elements and their situation, it could be an even game. And I really do expect the game in Miami to be a lot tougher week 17 with potentially a lot on the line, a lot different from Miami, who could squeak out a win in Miami. I just see the Bills going in, you know, full head of steam, really keeping us alive, just keeping us grasping us, Rob, just to say, you know, we're still in this thing. You know, we're still going to make this a challenge because, you know, going into New England is never going to be fun to get smacked around there and still think you're going to be a playoff team. So that's going to be fun. If the Bills beat Miami, go in to play one of the better AFC teams to show where they're at and lose by 20 again. I mean, I think at that point, Bills fans will finally get a serving of humble pie that just kind of says, well, even squeaking in at 9-7, like we can't play with the top of the AFC.
Yeah. And they've been served several
three or four times
this season. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And you know what, just listening to the players this week, it seems like they are focused and ready to go. They know what's at stake. Micah Hyde was talking about it. Every game is a playoff game at this point. Every game is a must win. It just seems like they're coming together at the right time. And that's what happens. We see it every year. A team creeps into the playoffs because they get hot at the right time. And, you know, I think that snow game, seeing how the players just – you saw after the game erupting with the fans, just going crazy. You know, I think that could be something where, you know, they get on a roll and beat a division opponent and go forward. Now, I don't want to get too optimistic. You know me, I'm the most pessimistic person in the world, as opposed to you, but
yeah, but you're not bad. I wouldn't say you're the most in the world. I would say there's
I'm up the top five probably, but
yeah, well, maybe we'll get you
pretty excited the top for five.
I mean, I think it's a great game. It's, if nothing else, it is, like you said, I think a lot of people think we have late season games that matter, but we really haven't. A few here and there, not middle December game that literally can boost you into the playoffs. We haven't had that. We have not had that in Buffalo. You can try to act like we have. You can try to point to a game where that's been important. Really not there. The Willie Parker game obviously was important since that season.
That's the last one I remember.
I think that's really important. That would be the only one. Fringe important. There might be one here and there, but this one's, at this point, I'm not kidding, this game against the Dolphins is second to that Willie Parker game in importance, because we could get another Willie Parker game week 17, one that is just as important as that.
You go to 8-6, that's huge, especially given the state of the AFC right now, which is pretty much wide open for that last spot or even two.
Yeah, you're 6-4 in the AFC, 8-6 overall. You have the tiebreaker at that point over Tennessee. You have the tiebreaker at that point potentially over Baltimore if they do drop a game. So, I mean, you have a tiebreaker over LA in multiple tiebreaker situations, which is funny because most people know we lost to them. Why are we having a tiebreaker? Because LA's AFC record would be 6-6, which isn't good enough to get you in the playoffs. KC would be the only other team that would have the tiebreaker over the Bills. So that's why you want them to win their division. They don't deserve it, but they're the team that should win it, because that even more so. LA can actually be eliminated with a Tennessee, Baltimore, and Buffalo loss. They cannot come back from that and them losing themselves. So, which would be great. You would want them gone and out of the picture. So that's kind of how I look at it. You don't want them to win the division. You want LA just out of the picture. So that's mm-hmm. that's the best way to put it. KC just going to squeak in, and then I think KC's worse. So you get another chance at KC in KC, potentially for that first game of the year. So, or Tennessee or Jacksonville. So you have a winnable matchup, not only to get to the playoffs, but you have a winnable matchup in your wild card round to at least boost you morale into next year with two firsts, 2 seconds, a third, and 2 fifths. So you're in great shape in the draft, which we'll get plenty into in January. You have a great position for now. The team really did try their best to win in the future and try their best to win now. They did go out and prove it with Kelvin Benjamin. I thought it was a smart trade. I thought you can't really bank on him getting his knee torpedoed. It literally could have tore his ACL, MCL, and everything. It looked like it at first. So I think that the Bills did dodge a bullet, and I don't know if you can call Kelvin Benjamin injury prone. I mean, that was a brutal hit on his knee. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Except Bill's expert, I think.
Bill's expert.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you're Bill's expert. Right. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, you see him out there? He was on the ladder today. So, I mean, yeah, he's getting unfortunate knee injuries, which is pretty sad. But, I mean, I wouldn't say he's injury prone. He had one injury prior to coming to Buffalo. So, I mean, playing football, everyone's injury prone. So,
sure. I mean, most people think that because he was traded by Carolina, he had a big injury coming in. It just wasn't true. He wasn't
Sullivan.
Hurt.
That's Jerry yeah. Sullivan's comment.
Yeah. So, yeah, he Collins, wasn't so. Hurt coming in. I mean, he just sat out one game earlier, like two quarters of a game in Carolina. He had an injury 2 years ago and then got torpedoed in his knee this year in. You know, that's where a defensive back's told to hit nowadays, but one hit that I'd love to see removed from the game. I mean, it's just, that's as bad as any hit that's currently there. I mean, that's ending 12. That's a 12-month injury in a lot of cases. So one that we really need to work on as a team or as an organization to get rid of hits to someone's, you know, ACL. I don't like that hit at all. I don't like that hit by a defender. I'd rather you crack me in the shoulders or something. I don't know. I just don't like that hit in the knees. So, I mean,
he is 6'5", so
I know.
That's a whole other discussion, but you're right. I mean, it's unfortunate that he's had those injuries, but I mean, he's been fighting through it and coming right back. He missed the games, but
he's coming back. What makes someone injury prone is, I mean, someone that just has soft tissue injuries is out 3 weeks, out 2 weeks, out 3 weeks, out 4 weeks.
Marquise Goodwin until this year, but
yep. Yeah, exactly. Someone that is missing for different injuries, missing 2 and 3 weeks at a time, things like that makes you injury. Different injuries that make you injury prone. Not a torpedo to your knee when you could have been out and you're still trying your best to play every game. And probably was the reason they beat the Colts, because I don't see him scoring any other way in regulation beside a driver. He's just going up and getting the ball because it's the weather elements are so bad. So that's right. What a little bit of what he can do. He hasn't really played that much. We're really excited to see him. A trade. I mean, you needed Jordan Matthews. You needed way more out of Jordan Matthews. That's one that disappoints me way more than Kelvin Benjamin. You made a trade there. One that looked smart. You got a third. Darby's always hit and miss. And I mean, it's one that you're probably going to walk away from. I mean, Jordan's probably going to hit free agency. You're going to probably put him in the compensation formula, everyone's favorite. So
your favorite.
It's one I actually think that I don't get what I ask for with the compensation formula, Rob. I never have. I think that's the formula. I just don't know. Glee has been a fine reserve defensive end. Vlad Dukas, because Vlad Dukas does nothing for me. Andre Holmes does nothing for me. They don't really use Patrick DeMarco, which is interesting. I mean, Steven Hauschka has been great. Micah Hyde's been great. Jordan Poyer's been great. So they've had some hits on free agency for sure. You're going to get two Pro Bowlers out of that. So you're going to get some hits in free agency for sure. But I just don't see. I mean, John Miller, what, he's just always hurt. Like, he couldn't beat out Vlad Dukas. I can't believe Ryan Gray's only a center to this offensive line. Weird that you're paying an only backup center that doesn't have position versatility, apparently, $5 million a year. I mean, what's your perfect line, Rob? Like, what's your perfect offensive line?
You know, I think Cordy's gone. I do like what I've seen from Deion Dawkins a lot. I was not a fan of the pick. I thought he was a right guard, strictly. At left tackle, he's really impressed me, especially for a rookie. When I know he's had some problems with the waist bending and kind of try pushing guys into Tyrod Taylor, but when you look at the NFL as a whole and rookie offensive linemen, I don't think you can ask for much better than what Deion Dawkins has done, especially as a run blocker. I mean, that guy is a beast and a violent, violent big man. And I think that he's going to be the franchise left tackle starting next season. I think Cordy Glenn's gone. Richie Incognito, he's impressive, but how much time does he have left? Wood, I think, is probably – don't kill me, chat box, if you guys are in here. I think he's the most overrated player on the Bills. Obviously, he's a great leader, blah, blah, blah. Then, I mean, right guard's obviously an issue. I'd like to see them at least try Groy. Obviously, it's too late in the season for that. Jordan Mills, I mean, he just keeps on ticking, beating out everybody somehow. So
I don't know how PFF kind of likes him. It's always weird. I mean,
I don't understand the pressure numbers with him, because when I go back and watch, I count and chart, and they're way off. But they do like him a lot. And
they do.
I don't know. I mean,
the Bills must be something with too. They read with his own blocking scheme that they don't think it should be attributed to him, and you know, even though it looks like it is. So I don't know.
That's a question for Eric with the offensive line, but yeah. I mean, Eric Wood and Jordan Mills are the two liabilities in my opinion. I think Vlad Dukas, he was awful during preseason. He was awful when he first started, but he's gotten better. That LeSean McCoy run last week. He had a key block on that, and I think he's gotten better. I don't think he's going to be your future guard of the century, but I think he's holding his own.
I don't mind him as a backup offensive guard, someone that you can put in a pinch. I mean, that's called depth to me. He's a guy that you want in there, and someone gets hurt, he's your seventh active lineman on game day, something like that. I have no issues with that. Never will, never have. I mean, Chantrell Henderson's the same type of player to me, like someone that you can have in a pinch.
I don't think
like him at all.
No, and you know me with my Miami guys, and I do not like Chantrell anymore. I've seen enough of him where I could say that he's
another guy that was terrible in the preseason. But I mean, I just think he possesses such talent, but he's not going to get re-signed anyway. So it's not, that's neither here nor there. I mean, he's done.
Yeah, John Miller's done for the offseason, but.
It's weird because the offensive line could be totally different outside of Dawkins. I mean,
I think it's going to be.
He's going to be the only one there.
He's here for the next 10 years because they gave him that extension.
Yeah, he is going to be here. And Richie, at least one more. Yeah. You're going to grab him for a year. So you're going to keep the left and middle alone. I mean, that right side could change pretty dramatically, and if you trade away Cordy Glenn, you're probably going to receive another asset. They're not going to just give him away. They're going to want at least a third round pick for him, something that you can easily, you know, get back, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think draft day he's gone.
Yeah, I think that's an option. So you're going to have a lot of moves, a lot of future moves. You're going to have a lot of future changes at the offensive line position. Did want to give a shout out to our sponsor, MyBookie. Give them a go. Google it, MyBookie. One of the best betting sites out there. Get in there, get in these games. Use promo code Locked On for a 100% promo bonus. Locked On promo code and mybookie.ag. Really good site out there. So give it a shot. You know, Rob, love having you on the show. Can only get so much time with you now that you're at the Bills Wire. Tell me what you're doing, what you're working on. Give us a rundown of the final stretch season. That's it.
Everything. If you want to find out what's going on with the press conferences, analysis on the games, previews, recaps, what we're looking forward to in the offseason, draft, free agency, just pretty much what you guys do over at Cover One also in the podcast here. We do a lot, you know. I like that we, you know, can share this kind of as the non-quote-unquote mainstream stuff where we can, you know, give a different perspective in the fan voice, so to speak. But, yeah, really check out BillsWire.com or Cover1.net. You can find us at the BillsWire on Twitter. Me at RobQuinn619. If you haven't blocked me yet, might want to unblock me. And yeah,
Rob's in good fun. They do the most quick hitters and like all the content over there that you can get. I mean, I'll check it out. I mean, we need story points, plot points, things to talk about. Check out the Bills Wire. They pretty much have every quote, every story, every topic, every change, you guys have everything over there, top five, everything that you need. I mean, so check that out over there. Cover one, you're going to get a lot more, Eric's going to go crazy with his own blocking scheme. Rob, you're going to get that great coverage and that great news, going streaming right to your phone for that, that quick hitter stuff. We try to do the same on a podcast. We try to just do it. We just do it in, an hour segment. Rob writes it out daily, 10 times a day to get the most content out as possible. So just different ways to grab your coverage, no matter where you are, work or school, get in on Locked On Bills, find us on Twitter. Rob, you can follow Rob. We have some great shows coming up. We're still going to get Antoine from the Dolphins Wire, Rob's counterpart, on this show. I think we're going to go live tomorrow to get him on to talk a crossover edition. Going to get a lot of great Bills Dolphins coverage. So, you have our Bills perspective from Rob and myself. You're going to grab Antoine's Dolphins perspective, and you're going to get a lot more of their side of the story, right? You always want two sides of the story. So you're going to get like what they're doing well, what they're doing poorly. Check out that crossover. Rob probably knows him better than I do. So we're going to actually use the Dolphins Wire, which is part of their sports media group, USA Today Sports Media Group, right?
Yes, sir. Part of the NFL Wire Network. And also we have a little Q&A with Antoine on the side, just five questions. You check it out, what he has to think. He has some interesting perspective on the game. If you want to check that out, it's on Bills Wire. I believe it's in the top story. And I think it'll lead good into the show that you guys are going to have with him. He's a great guy. He's realistic. He's not a Homer Dolphins fan. And he's a really good analysis for the Dolphins.
We're looking forward to that. So watch out for our tweets on that. Check out that question and answer with Rob over on the Bills Wire with Antoine, and then watch him on our show here live when we can get him on. I believe it will probably try for tomorrow. If not, we'll get him on Saturday, and he'll represent the Dolphins Wire once again. So check their content out. And I believe Rob tweeted out his handle and his follow him this week as well, and obviously just follow him in general, but follow him this week and then the week 17 as well, which could be just as important or more important for same coverage. Dolphins are they're getting healthy, but they're getting beat up. So Antoine's going to be a great follow for you to kind of catch there. They have a lot of offensive linemen on the injury report, a lot of defensive linemen on the injury report. So catch up with Antoine. We appreciate you coming on and viewing this show. The chat box is roaring. Sorry, you couldn't get to more of your questions. As always, I don't get much time with Rob, so it's always good to get his perspective on this kind of stuff. And we appreciate everyone tuning in today.